Chapter 1. Origins. It would be easy for us to assume that bacteria are the simplest form of life, and thus presumably would have been the original life form on this planet. This may be true, but it is not a simple equation. Bacteria are single-cell organisms and are what are known as prokaryotic cells. These differ considerably from the cells of both animals and plants, inasmuch as there are no visible discrete compartments within the cell. They are also usually considerably smaller than the cells of animals and plants. So how did bacteria first emerge? This looks like a classic chicken and egg conundrum. Bacteria, like all cells, contain DNA, and they function by the decoding of this DNA into proteins, which comprise the enzymes that control all the major processes within the organism. In this respect, they are similar to other cells, and thus probably have a common origin. The link between DNA decoding and protein production is RNA. RNA does not differ greatly in structure from DNA, and some believe that RNA is the origin of life. This is plausible, as RNA is the messenger. It is the molecule that is transcribed from DNA, and from which protein is translated. It was the discovery of ribozymes by Thomas Seck at the University of Colorado and Sidney Altman of Yale University that strongly suggested that RNA was the origin of life. Ribozymes are RNA molecules that have a 3D tertiary structure, and they act as catalysts, similar to enzymes. Therefore, RNA could act not only as the store of genetic material, but also is the enzyme that decodes it into the structures of life. We may never be able to confirm this hypothesis, but if we assume that it is plausible, then we can start to examine how bacteria emerged and where they fit in the evolutionary tree. Approximately 4.3 billion years ago, the first cells are thought to have arisen, probably with RNA as an essential catalytic role and later as a self-replicating molecule. The basic integrity of a cell is the formation of a cell membrane composed of lipid bilayers. As these can form spontaneously, they could have surrounded early RNA molecules. Their continued presence may have been promoted through mutation of the RNA, which would have been passed on to succeeding generations through self-replication. This basic system does have significant disadvantages, because a mistake made in the replication of RNA would immediately have an effect not only on the replication of the genetic material, but also on the ability to act as a catalyst, largely, it may be assumed, in a detrimental manner. The separation of the self-replicating machinery from the enzymes they encode would have resulted in far fewer abortive stages. Consequently, we must assume that DNA largely took over the role of the carrier for the self-replicating genes and proteins of the enzymes that they eventually encoded. RNA merely remained as the messenger that carried the instructions from DNA to the formation of the proteins. The early bacteria emerged approximately 1.5 billion years after the creation of the planet. For the next 3 billion years, bacteria were probably the planet's sole living inhabitants. The fossil record shows that there were huge numbers of bacteria, often collecting in large colonies, attached to many surfaces. Their imprint can still be seen. Approximately 1 billion years ago, however, the numbers of these colonies in the fossil record began to fall, and this could be evidence that bacteria had become the source of food for some other life form. Certainly this was before the Cambrian explosion of 500 million years ago, when the diversity of life forms increased rapidly, but it does suggest that for the first three quarters of life on Earth, bacteria had it all their own way. What were these bacteria? The common view is that prokaryotic cells, such as bacteria, and eukaryotic cells, such as those that comprise our bodies, had a common ancestor. The last universal common ancestor, Luca, or Sen ancestor, is considered to be the most recent ancestor of all life on Earth, and possibly was living some 3.5 billion years ago. It is thought to have been a prokaryotic, single-celled organism, possibly similar to simple bacteria found today. By this time, it has been concluded that the genetic code must have become DNA rather than RNA, and that the catalysts had become true enzymes, proteins, composed of the 20 amino acids. Furthermore, the machinery for dividing the DNA, maintaining its integrity, and expressing the genes through RNA was already established. These bacteria would have been exclusively anaerobic. They did not respire oxygen, as there was little or no available oxygen in the atmosphere at the time. These bacteria could produce energy from the available nutrients, but this was an extremely inefficient process. About 3.2 billion years ago, photosynthetic bacteria, or cyanobacteria, first emerged. These bacteria could use energy from the sun to make sugars, which were used for further metabolism. The byproduct of this photosynthesis was oxygen, which began to accumulate in the atmosphere. Oxygen is toxic to many cells, particularly the early anaerobic bacteria, which probably started to decline. About 2.5 billion years ago, the fossil record shows that aerobic bacteria emerged, able to use the newly available oxygen to convert sugars into energy, usually in the form of adenosine 5-triphosphate, ATP. The use of oxygen vastly increased the energy obtained from a single sugar molecule, and these bacteria soon predominated. The main eukaryotic cells may have derived from an early example of archaea, which themselves derived from Leuca. They probably evolved about 2 billion years ago. These were distinguishable from prokaryotic cells by having a defined nucleus, usually comprising discrete chromosomes that contained the DNA. However, having emerged from prokaryotes, the evolution of these eukaryotic cells did not proceed independently of prokaryotes, but with a degree of symbiosis. Eukaryotic cells possess distinct organelles. Most animal cells possess mitochondria, and most plant cells contain chloroplasts. Both these organelles are approximately the same size as bacteria and possess their own DNA. Mitochondria probably originated from oxygen-utilizing bacteria, such as early examples of proteobacteria or cyanobacteria, which have been captured by eukaryotic cells to provide energy through oxidative phosphorylation. Chloroplasts probably originated from photosynthetic bacteria in order to produce energy from light. In both cases, the eukaryotic cells ingested the bacteria but did not destroy them, allowing coexistence known as endosymbiosis. Both animal and plant eukaryotic cells were taking up the energy-generating machinery of bacteria, which had evolved over millions of years, thus obviating the need for their separate evolution in eukaryotic cells. This certainly accelerated the development of eukaryotic cells. It is believed that the incorporation of mitochondria and chloroplasts into eukaryotic cells also occurred 1.5 billion years ago, as eukaryotic cells emerged. The mitochondria-containing cells became the cells of animals, and the chloroplast-containing cells those of plants. Both mitochondria and chloroplasts still contain their ancient DNA, which replicates independently from the nuclear DNA of the eukaryotic cell itself. Similarly, this DNA is not affected by the sexual reproduction of the host, and carries unaltered DNA from generation to generation. The acquisition of these energy-producing organelles rapidly increased the evolution of the eukaryotic cells, resulting in the Cambrian explosion of multicellular eukaryotic animals and plants 500 million years ago. What else distinguishes a bacterial cell from a eukaryotic cell? The size is an obvious distinction. The bacterial cell could be 2 microns in length, whereas a mammalian cell may be 15 times longer and 1,000 times greater in volume. However, one striking feature is the maintenance of the self-replicating genetic material, DNA. In bacteria, it is maintained as a single genome, with the genes closely packed and genes controlling related functions often clustered together. On the other hand, most eukaryotic cells have their DNA divided up into several chromosomes and are diploid, receiving one set of chromosomes from each parent. Therefore, the chromosomes are homologous pairs, basically carrying the same genes in the same order. This arrangement can compensate for errors in the DNA, as recombination of a damaged gene with the duplicate intact gene can rectify the error. The single copy of the bacterial genome means that if a mistake is made, it is likely to be permanent and often is lethal. The reason for this difference may be that many eukaryotic cells form part of a much larger organism, where disastrous mutations could cause major damage, such as cancer. So the duplication may have evolved to minimize this. Bacteria, on the other hand, although they are single-celled organisms, are usually not in isolation but form colonies. Each cell is capable of regenerating the colony. So if, during DNA division, mutations occur which are lethal for the host cell, there will be enough members of the colony in which mutations have not occurred to keep the colony thriving. From a technical point of view, it has been convenient to categorize bacteria according to their response to the Gram stain. This technique, developed by Hans Christian Gram in 1884, distinguishes bacteria with a single membrane, Gram-positive, from those that have a double membrane and a much thicker cell wall, Gram-negative. The simpler cell membrane structure of Gram-positive bacteria would suggest that they are the ancestral bacteria. However, there is some evidence that the opposite may be true. Whichever is the case, it has proved crucial in the examination of bacteria to separate them into these two broad classes.